this peace. And in Isaiah,
thank you, Nigel. In Isaiah it says, oh, what a great church we have. In Isaiah it says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And you might think, well, who's the us? Well, the us is you. Yeah, well, I'm not a Christian. This is for the world. God so loved the world. Are you in the world? Can you breathe? Are you sentient? Then it's you. You are the us that the child was born. Who's the child? The child is Jesus Christ. There's a message I'm going to share today, and it might be seen by some as a hard-hitting message, but it's a privilege to be able to share what God says. And I just want you to have a heart soft enough to receive it. And the government will be on his shoulders. Whose shoulders? The shoulders of Christ himself. This was Isaiah foretelling what was going to happen. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We could all do a counsel at times, couldn't we? Well, I know I could. But we need a mighty God and an everlasting Father who changes not, because he's the Prince of Peace. If you hang around us any length of time, you'll hear us say, may the peace that transcends all understanding. You know, what do you mean? Peace that transcends. We can't understand it. You know what the peace is that God's talking about? It's that peace that we can have while we're in the storm. It's not that peace that we get while we're on the riverbank and the birds are singing. It's when we're in the water, when we're in the torrent. You know, the Bible talks about it so often. As the waves come over us, he says, I am the anchor for you in the storms of life. That's the peace we're talking about. Of his greatness and government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, everlasting and upholding it, with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. For the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish it. See, God is zealous for us. When I was at school, many of you will know. If you don't know, I will write a book next year and tell you about it. I'm dyslexic. And when I was at school, the teacher would say, this was at my infant school, the teacher would say, if you can answer this question, put your hand up, and if you get it right, you can go out to lunch. I always got hungry because I didn't know the answer. They'd give this mathematical equation, and I'm going, so I was the last one to leave. But you know what? Now I know the answer. His name is Jesus. That's the answer. So I want to share one or two scriptures, and it might not seem very Christmassy, but it's about a gift that we need to receive, isn't it? You know, the whole Christmas story. Paul, would you just turn that off so that... Yeah, thank you. It's all about a gift. Now, who doesn't... When I... Like I said, I don't like talking about myself, but I'm going to interject with some stories. when I first met my wife... Well, she wasn't my wife then, but when I first met her, she would like to buy me gifts. And I was so embarrassed at receiving these gifts, because when I was a child, my mum would say to me, you haven't got anything for your birthday because it's so close to Christmas, I'll just do the two together. So I had no expectations. I had no expectations on anybody giving anything to me or doing anything for me. Now, it wasn't a hard thing, because it's something that I was used to as a child and I grew up that way. But what it does is it hardens you to do life your way and not let anyone in. So when someone like my wife now, Susan, comes and she wants to lavish stuff on me, I'm thinking, why? Why? Why do you want to give me stuff? Because I can. Yeah, but why? And part of my upbringing was this. I would not allow anyone to get close to me, then they could not hurt me. Let me say that again. I wouldn't let anybody get close to me, then they could not hurt me. And once we become vulnerable, there's so much out there. The Bible says, see, I lay a table before you in the presence of your enemies. God wants to lavish his gifts on us, but so often we go, thanks, but no thanks. Because we don't want what comes with it. Well, the gift of God is a free gift, but it cost him everything. In this portion of scripture in Romans 10, Paul is so eloquent. He says, if, and that's a big word, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What do you mean, saved? You know, if you don't know the story of the gospel, is heaven and there's hell. And if you go into heaven, then you'll be saved from hell. Yeah? Well, that's what Paul's talking about. Hell, listen, everybody's going to live forever in eternity. Some people are going up and some people are going down. And this is the gospel. But God so loved the world that he gave you the choice to choose. So which one are you going to choose? But let's go up a bit further, because I like reading what God says. And I was listening to something on the radio coming up, and the man was talking about Christmas, and he said, you need to get it into context. Why do we have the tree? Get it into context. Why even the mistletoe? Get it into context. It says this, Romans 10, 1. Brothers and sisters, that's you and me, my heart's desire and prayer to God for you, the Israelites. He's talking about the church, his people, and I'm talking about you, God's people, is that they may be saved. And my prayer in my heart is that you may be saved. Now, you might already be, so I'm preaching to the choir. But there might be someone listening who isn't, and I'm speaking to you. Anyone who can hear my voice is who I'm speaking to. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own. There's a righteousness that God demands of us. It's a right standing with God. That's by following the law. But no one can follow the law. See, they tried to do it themselves. Don't put your hands up, but how many of us have tried to do it ourselves? That's my life story until God got hold of me. I can do it myself. Even now I struggle. I think I mentioned the other week, I rung my son up and said, can you come and give me a hand, Joshua, to move some furniture? He said, yes, I can, Dad, but not till later. But knowing you, you would have already done it yourself. Which I did, because I'm impatient. But when I can, I will. But I can't attain righteousness on my own. I can't fulfill the law, because if you read through Scripture, you'll see it's impossible. But they tried to do it themselves. They did not submit to God's righteousness. And that's the problem with me and you. Our hearts are hardened at times towards God's righteousness. Why? Glad you asked. Because we try and do it ourselves. In verse 4, for Christ is the culmination of the law. All the law is met in Christ, in other words. That there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Did you hear that bit? Everyone who believes. Everyone who believes what? We're getting on to this. Moses wrote this about the righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. There are people still in the world today who are trying to live a good life. And that's commendable, isn't it? But here's a revelation for you. Sorry to say, you'll never be good enough. Well, that's not fair. Who said it's fair? That's why there's a gift that's been offered to every one of us if we're willing to choose it. Moses writes this about the righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. You live by the law, you die by the law. There's a saying, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. You'll be judged by the things you do rather than the things that Christ has done. But the righteousness, he says, that is by faith. We might think we don't have faith, but you sat on a chair this morning. You had faith that that chair would carry your weight. Yes? See, we all have faith. But we'll put our faith in many things. We'll put our faith in education. We'll put our faith in our own abilities. We'll put our faith in our bank account, our doctors. But there's a faith that God wants us to put in him and his son. It's a gift. Will you choose to accept it today? That is to bring, but the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend to the heaven? Who will go up and get him? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the depth? Who will go down? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. The word is near you. The Bible says, in the beginning was the word became flesh, the flesh became spirit and dwelt amongst us. The word we're talking about is Christ himself. If you read the Bible in context, you'll understand these things for yourself. They're not hidden. that you can't see them, but so often our eyes are blinkered that we can't see them. And God wants to lift the veil off, maybe today, that you may see the word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim, Paul says. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. There was a time in my life where my lovely wife Susan started going to church, and I'm thinking, I'm going to go and check this church out because they seem a little bit dodgy to me, because she comes back happy, and it's not a good thing, is it? She comes back happy. What's going on there? What stuff are they smoking? So I went, and that's where I met Nigel and Emma, and we've been friends ever since. But I also met someone else. We was there, and this big burly Yorkshireman was preaching the gospel. I didn't even know what the gospel was. Apparently it's good news. That's why Susan came back so happy. And he said this at the end of the service. He said, is there anyone that would like to accept this Jesus for themselves? Now, I hadn't repented at that time. I didn't even know I was a sinner. I didn't even know that I needed to be saved. But there was something within me that was almost as if there was an invisible cord on my finger as it pulled my hand up when I went me. And I tried to pull it down and it wouldn't go down. It kept going up. And that day I accepted the gift that we talk about at Christmas. Didn't understand it. I'm saying to God, as I'm speaking to him the next week, well, I'm not good enough, so I need to be saved this week as well. And I put my hand up again the next week and the next week. 6 weeks on the row. And in the end, they got so frustrated. And my then friend, but then he became the elder, said, Andrew, just believe. Just by faith, believe that God has taken your sins. Do you know what? I'm so used to doing life my way, that was a hard thing to do, to trust someone else. But from that day forward, God started to soften my heart, and he can soften yours too. But there's a choice, and God loves you enough. How many people tell you that you're loved? Not to embarrass Susan, but I will. Susan was one of the few people that told me she loved me. And I rejected it time and time again. But she kept saying, I love you. And she would show me by the things she did. And by telling me when I was wrong. And by protecting me. But she did love me. But I didn't know what love was. Maybe you don't. The Bible says that God says, I am love. So if you'll make that decision today, not because you feel good enough, but because you're never going to be good enough. Not because you understand what the Bible says about you, because you may not understand what the Bible says about you. Not because you're trying to earn it to be a good person, you'll never get there, as Paul says. They tried it in their own righteousness. Do we need to have a righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ, that he's already accomplished it on the cross? Yes, he came as a baby, but he grew up to be a man, and he hung on a cross, a dead piece of wood, and he bled, and his blood cleansed my sin. And by faith I accept that, and maybe you can today. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, just as if I'd never sinned at all. That's what justification is. You can never attain it. You can never get it yourself. And I used to think to myself, one day I will be good enough to go to church. One day I will be good enough to preach his word. One day I will be good enough. In my own strength, the Bible says, I will never be good enough. But in his strength, I am more than a conqueror. I've overcome because he's in me. And he that is in me is greater, the Bible says, than he that is in the world. Now, how do I know these things? Because as we read scripture, it says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. So let's fill our hearts with him. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile, the rich and the poor, the tall and the short, the eloquent and the non-eloquent. You know, I used to always put myself down growing up. If only I was as smart as that person. If only I was as tall or as handsome as that individual. If only I could do things as practically as that person, then maybe people would love me. And you know, I've said this many times, but for our visitors, I'll say this again. When I was at school and they were picking teams for whatever, football, cricket, there would be two captains and the captain would go, "I'll have him," and the other one would go, "I'll have him." I was always last. I was rubbish at everything. The only thing I could do was speak loud. I could never keep a secret because I had too much of a loud voice. But when God got hold of me, he says this, "I choose you." And he chooses you today. But here's the thing. When the captain of the cricket team says, "I choose you," I have an obligation to go. So do you. See, God says, "I choose you." Yeah, but you don't know me, Andrew. You don't know what I said, I did, and you don't know my heart. I don't need to. Because you'll never be good enough in your own strength. But Jesus' blood washes you as much as it washes me. You don't know me. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. Will you call on him today? I'm not talking about speaking out loud. I'm not talking about putting your hand up. I'm just talking about this heart thing saying, "God, I can't do life on my own. Help me." And he will if you're sincere. Everyone, that's including you, who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus, come and help me. I don't understand it. I don't know it. You don't need to know it. You know, there's people, and it is true, there's people in my life, and I'm sure in your life, that they have this sense of morality, and they're good people. And you may say to yourself, "My neighbour would make a good Christian, they're so generous and helpful." And yet, according to Scripture, they're still going to hell. It don't seem fair, does it? But it says, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You see, if you wait until you're good enough, you'll never be good enough. Your righteousness isn't in what you do. Your righteousness isn't in what you give. Your righteousness isn't because you're a provider. Your righteousness is found in Christ. He has paid in full. Paid in full. But we have been given the grace to say yes or no. God loves you enough to give you the choice. How then can they call on the one who has not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? That's a good question, isn't it? Paul poses this. And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? So I ask not for forgiveness for preaching to you, because that's what Scripture says. Preach to them. How can anyone preach unless they're sent? God sent us to preach good news. Good news. You know, there's always bad news, isn't there? There's always bad news around, and God sent us to preach good news. But here's the thing. Is this my right hand? I'm glad you're awake. How do you know that? Because this is my left hand, yeah? And I could say the same thing. Is this my left hand? The answer is yes. How do you know? Because this is my right hand. That's what we've been taught, isn't it? What's up? Because we know what's down. We don't know what the good news is unless we know what the bad news is. So the bad news is all have sinned. That's all of us. You, me, and everybody else. Every good person in the world. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin, which is separation from God, is death, an eternal death. Well, that's not good news, is it? That's bad news. But the good news is the gift of God is life, and life in all its fullness. So does that mean, Pastor, if I accept Jesus as my Saviour and my Lord, then all will be well? Sadly not. You will suffer in this world. But be of good cheer, God says, I'm there with you. As you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm there with you. As you go through your financial turmoil, I'm there with you. As you go through your relationships, the good, the bad, and the ugly, I am there with you. As people malign your character and speak falsely against you, I will be there with you. See, he doesn't promise us that we won't suffer, but he says you will have life and life in all its fullness. The Bible says pray in all circumstances, yeah? Not pray for all circumstances. Lord, I thank you that I've been kicked and stabbed and abused. Lord, I thank you that I've been maligned. No. Lord, I thank you that you're with me. That no weapon forged against me will prosper. They may be words to you, but to those that have put their faith in Jesus, they are a sword. They are a sword. Sharper than a two-edged sword is his word. I want to read this portion of scripture and hope I won't keep us too long. Just as people are destined to die once, and after that will face judgment. What's judgment? That's God's judgment. Do you know what? Christians and non-Christians are going to be judged. The Bible talks about the goodness of God and talks about the evilness of man. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation. Well, that's good news, but listen, to those who are waiting for him. Are you waiting for him? I hope you are, because God loves you. Maybe you don't understand what that word love is. Well, after today's message, hopefully you will. In Luke 17:26, just as it was in the days of Noah. Now, most of us have heard the stories of Noah and the ark. We hear the story of David and Goliath, Jonah and the big fish. So also it will be in the days of the Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man? Well, if you read scripture, it's Jesus. So will it be when Jesus comes back. People were eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage, right up until the day of Noah, the day he entered the ark. Remember, he was saying for day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, there's going to be a flood. God is coming to judge. Repent. For the kingdom is at hand. He was preaching, but no one wanted to listen. But right up until the day he went into the ark, then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. And we probably know the story of Lot and his wife being turned into salt. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like that on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one who is on the housetop with their possessions inside should go down to get them out. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife? Whoever tries to keep their life will lose it. You remember what was said to her? Do not look back, yet she looked back. Whoever loses their life will preserve it. I tell you, on that night, two people will be in one bed, and one will be taken, and the other left. This is a sad portion of scripture if we read it. Listen, I tell you, on that night, two people will be in one bed. One will be taken, one will go to heaven, and one won't. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken, and the other left. See, this is a message of good news, but it don't sound too good, does it? But listen, the Bible talks about when the thief comes. If you knew that someone was coming to rob your house, you'd make sure you put the locks on the door, wouldn't you? Well, that's what God is doing in his word. He's already given you a warning. He's already telling you that now is the day. When do I need to repent? Today. When's the day of salvation? The Bible says today, not tomorrow when I get my life in order, because you'll never get your life in order. In Matthew 24:44, so you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when we do not expect him. You see, even now, we're preparing for Christmas, aren't we? We're preparing to have some fellowship with our families, do something to celebrate that day or not. Or you're looking forward to your birthday, or you're looking forward to the day that you do something next year. We don't know next year is coming, do we? We just don't know. So also, you must be ready. You see, there's a story about the 10 virgins, 5 foolish and 5 wise, and it talks about oil in lamp. And if you choose to read it, it's quite illuminating, pardon the pun. But if you read it, what it's saying simply is this: 5 were ready and 5 weren't. 5 had oil in their lamp. They could see the door, if you like. This is my evangelistic bit. They could see the door, they could see the way, and they could enter. The others had no oil in their lamp, and they were blinded. And they went to buy some more, and by the time they got back, the door was shut. It was too late. The flood had already come. It was too late. The fire had already fell. So you. Now, if you look at this word you in the Greek, in the Hebrew, in the Latin, it means you. It means you. What, me? Have you ever done that? When I was going back to my childhood, the teacher would normally say, "You boy." And as soon as they would go, "You boy," I knew it was me. It's always me. You know, if we're in a line where there's something gone wrong, my friend, my ex-best friend, used to set stink bombs off. And I used to look so guilty. It wasn't me. And he'd always go, "You boy. Sir, it's not me." Your face says it all. What's that about my face? I always look guilty. "You boy." You know, there's an old advert for the lottery, and it used to be like a finger of God coming out of the cloud going, "You." Well, God's saying that to you. "I love you, that I gave my son to die on a cross, to shed his blood so that you could be saved." If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, now can't you just use another deity? You know, there's lots of religions in the world. And what would we say? "Religion, the cause of all wars." Well, this is not a religion. This is a relationship. Now, I know that sounds corny. But it's not about what I can do for you. It's what God has done for you in the person of Jesus. You see, the key is Jesus. Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That was worth repeating. It is with your heart that you believe. I made a choice. You know, I made a choice that day. I didn't know what God was doing in my life. I thought I was a good person doing the occasional bad, and then I got a rude awakening by my neighbour, and he said, "No, you're a bad person doing the occasional good. Thanks, Tim. Love you too." But that's true, isn't it? We're never going to be good enough. But in Christ, we are. "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, just as if I never sinned at all." See, that's the gift that God gives us, to wash and say, "Let's start from now." "And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." Faith in what? Faith in what Christ has done. That's the good news story. We put our faith in what he has done for us. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between the Jew or the Gentile. I finish with a scripture that I started on because I wanted to say to us that today is the day of salvation. This is a story about Christmas, Christ. This is a story about the season of goodwill. This is a story about truth and honesty. This is a story about our rebellion as mankind. This is a story about redemption, that God came to reconcile man to himself. You see, if we look at it like this, and I'll finish with this so that Emma and team can come up. If you say God is on this side and man is on that side, and in the middle is a chasm, this bridge, and it doesn't matter what we do, we cannot bridge that chasm. So we're lost. But Jesus comes along. Jesus comes along. And when we look at the law and it says you must be perfect, and we realize we cannot meet that perfection, Jesus comes and he says, "Man, God, I am perfect. walk across me. Accept me. Accept that bridge. You know, as he stretched out his hands on that cross, it wasn't the nails that held him there. Did you know that? It wasn't the roots that held him there. It wasn't the spear that was put in his side that held him there. It was love for you and me. It was love that held him there. God so loved the world that he gave. So I'm going to finish in prayer, and don't try to analyze it, but I just want to ask a simple question to us who are Christians and those that are searching. You know, this is so simple. We just need to say yes. So I want you to quietly, if you will, if you can hear my voice either on this recording or in this building, I want you to be challenged. I want you to squirm a little bit, but I want you to know that the message has been preached today. The word of God has been preached today, and you've been given an opportunity to hear it. So you have no excuse when you end up in hell. God gives you the choice to choose him today. So I'm going to pray and going to ask all of us to say amen if we too choose to. That's the gift of God this Christmas. Father God, I pray that you will forgive me of my sins and my transgressions. I pray, I ask, Lord, that you will forgive me of living my life my way. I forgive me, Lord, for thinking that I could earn love, that I could earn salvation. Lord, I want to receive you today as a gift. So I repent. I turn away from my old life, and I pray that today that you would enter into my heart and you would soften me and enable me to be the man and the woman or the child that you've called me to be. I accept your gift of grace. I accept your righteousness. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I ask this in the name of Jesus, and I say, amen. Let it be so.